It's a brand new season of the Politocrat Daily Podcast for conversation, information, and revelation. Join me, Omar Moore, every day for a brand new edition of the Politocrat Daily Podcast. Politics, news, issues you care about, guests, and commentary, all on the Politocrat Daily Podcast. So please join me for every new episode. Subscribe now. And thank you very much for your support. Welcome to the Politocrat. I am Omar Moore. It is Thursday, January the 21st, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, the honeymoon is over, before it even began. President Joe Biden hits the ground running, and we must as well, in the bid to push this administration to do what we elected it to do, not just what it says it will do. We've had the celebration. We've had the pomp and the circumstance. We've had the tears, the drink, the cake, the laughter, the joy, and the pride. And now, it's time to get to work. All of that, and what we can do, what you can do, coming up next. Now there's a brand new webpage, especially for this podcast. The Politocrat Daily Podcast can now be found on thepolitocrat.com, a brand new page that centralizes all of the places that you can listen to this podcast, the major platforms, and many others at thepolitocrat.com. Lots of content that you can see there right now and every single day. So subscribe now to the Politocrat Daily Podcast and make sure you visit thepolitocrat.com. Thank you.
As I said earlier today, we have learned again that democracy is precious. Because of you, democracy has prevailed. That's why Jill and I, Kamala and Doug, wanted to make sure our inauguration was not about us, but about you, the American people. This is a great nation. We're a good people. And to overcome the challenges in front of us requires the most elusive of all things in a democracy, unity. It requires us to come together in common love that defines us as Americans. Opportunity, liberty, dignity, and respect. And to unite against common foes, hate, violence, disease, and hopelessness. America's story depends not on any one of us, not on some of us, but on all of us, on we the people. That's the task before us. The only way we'll get through the darkness around us. There are moments in our history when more is asked of us as Americans. We saw that in the Civil War. We saw that with Dr. King dreaming from these steps across the mall. We are in one of those moments now. The pandemic, economic crisis, racial injustice, the climate crisis, and threats to our very democracy. And the question is, are we up to it?
That was Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, speaking last night on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, reiterating some of what he said during his inauguration speech. President Biden has a lot of work to do, and everybody is already doing it in his administration. Yesterday, President Biden signed 15 executive orders. I'll talk about a few of those in a few moments. There were also two agency orders and directives, making it for a total of 17 orders on the first day, the first hours of office. Donald Trump, on the other hand, 4 years ago, on the 20th of January 2017, signed just two executive orders. The Senate, now in Democratic hands, and wasn't it just so good to look at the chyron of your TVs and see, if you were watching C-SPAN, that the chyron read, Mitch McConnell, Minority Leader. That was a breath of fresh air and everything to see that on the chyron. But the United States Senate got to work immediately, confirming Avril Haines, the first Biden nominee before the United States Senate, up for consideration for a vote. And as you saw and probably know by now, Avril Haines was confirmed overwhelmingly 84-10, the Senate swiftly putting her through as the Director of National Intelligence, arguably the most important position that had to be attended to first. There will be other votes coming over the next day or two. We've already had two hearings this week, confirmation hearings for Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen testified, and confirmation hearing for Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin testified. That was on Tuesday of this week. And yesterday, with 84 senators voting yes and 10, guess which party they belong to, voting no, it is worth noting that everybody now is getting a keen sense of the kinds of things that are going to need to have to be done to get things going in this country and move the country forward. It is such a critical thing that we do this now, because there are no honeymoons, especially when you consider the last 4 years. The honeymoons never began. And this administration, it seems, is making it very clear that they are on the ground working right now, literally. A stack of executive orders on President Biden's desk. It was remarkable to see, and he wasted no time in signing each and every one of them. Among them, were the executive order to stop building this pathetic and racist border wall that Donald Trump had been trying to get going. And only a few miles of it had been actually rebuilt. It wasn't even built freshly. It was literally just being repaired and replaced. A waste of taxpayer money, if ever there was. Joe Biden also overturned the Paris Climate Accord exit, and now the United States is part of that agreement again, as they are part of the World Health Organization. Imagine throwing a country out of the World Health Organization, and imagine throwing a country out of a Paris Climate Accord. But that's exactly what happened 4 years ago, or at least along the way. Joe Biden, as president, got to work immediately. Immediately. Here is Jen Psaki, the press secretary, giving her first White House press briefing on day one of this administration. This is remarkable. Day one.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this historic day. It's an honor to be here with all of you. When the president asked me to serve in this role, we talked about the importance of bringing truth and transparency back to the briefing room. And he asked me to ensure we are communicating about the policies across the Biden-Harris administration and the work his team is doing every single day on behalf of all American people. There will be times when we see things differently in this room, I mean, among all of us. That's okay. That's part of our democracy, and rebuilding trust with the American people will be central to our focus in the press office and in the White House every single day. So we had a very busy and active day today, as you all know, but I wanted to take a moment to go through the 15 executive actions, or highlights of them, I should say, and some of the steps that the president asked agencies to take today. You should have all received copies of the executive orders as well as the accompanying fact sheets, but I want to take this moment to highlight them for the American public who are watching at home. To combat the deadly virus, the president launched his 100-day masking challenge, asking Americans to do their part and mask up for 100 days. He's doing his part as well, issuing a mask mandate that will require anyone visiting a federal building or federal land or using certain modes of public transportation to wear a mask. He signed an executive order reversing Trump's decision to withdraw from the World Health Organization. This will strengthen our own efforts to get the pandemic under control by improving global health. And tomorrow, we're not wasting any time, Dr. Fauci will participate remotely in the meeting of the World Health Organization as the U.S. head of delegation.
And by the way, that's how she began the press conference. Here's how she ended the press conference.
The struggles that millions of Americans are facing who don't have jobs, the fear people have about the health of their grandparents and their cousins and their brothers, and to make it more about the strength of the American people when they come together and not about any individual. But as you saw in his speech, it was forward-looking. It was not meant to look back on the past.
Go
ahead.
How does President Biden plan to recover the United States' image around the world? And what is his priority globally?
Well, his priority is first rebuilding our partnerships and alliances around the world and regaining America's seat at the global table. And you can see that is evidenced in his rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, rejoining the World Health Organization, his plans to engage with partners and allies and work together to address many of the threats and issues we're facing around the world. But I think that is what you will see as his focus in the weeks ahead.
Thank you,
Jen. Thank you, Zeke.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Let's do this again tomorrow.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Jen.
That should tell you everything. Let's do this again tomorrow. How about that? And with the end of that press conference, which was just over half an hour, Jen Psaki, in her first day on the job, in her first hours on the job, in the first hours of the Biden administration, had already done more press conferences than Stephanie Grisham ever did under the previous person in the White House. She never did a single press briefing. Jen Psaki, undefeated. She might do a press briefing every day. And do you remember 4 years ago? It wasn't the first day that there was a press briefing. In fact, it was the second day, a Saturday. Cast your mind back if you dare. 4 years ago, exactly, Saturday, January the 21st, 2017, and guess who it was? Sean Spicer, raging and screaming at the press, and didn't take any questions to the best of my knowledge. I remember watching the darn thing, and it was a Saturday. This is the same day that you-know-who went to the CIA and completely mocked them, insulted them. And there was this cheering squad of people obviously brought in by the predecessor who were there cheering him in the first two rows. This is in the CIA. And you had Sean Spicer there in the press briefing room screaming at the press.
Oh, our inauguration crowd is much bigger than Obama's. Don't you ever say otherwise. That's a lot.
I mean, it was just absolutely ridiculous. But that was the reality TV, bully boy, toxic masculinity kind of garbage that the patriarchy serves up and sees if we are going to take it, tolerate it, or say something about it. Well, we definitely said something about Sean Spicer, who was out of that job about a year and a half later. I dare say that Jen Psaki's job security is going to be very safe in the Biden administration. What a breath of fresh air. Truth? Gosh, what about that? Who knew? Someone that could actually tell the truth. Who knew? An adult in the room. My goodness me. How about that? An adult. Who actually answers questions. Who doesn't just make a statement and scamper away from the podium after 2 minutes. Who actually faces the press and doesn't get defensive in front of the press. Jen Psaki is already a winner. And it's not as if she did a whole lot, but just do her job, which is the minimum of what you want from a very good press secretary. I don't want a press secretary to be a good liar. That is not the function of a press secretary. The White House press secretary is supposed to brief the press and also be transparent toward them. There, of course, are push and pull episodes, but the objective is to get a clear message out about what the president is doing, what his or her vision is, and how that impacts the American public and also impacts the country on the global stage. That is what that press conference function is. That is what a press secretary does. But my whole point is about all of this here in this episode, dear listener, is that the work is already being done by President Biden and his administration. And, you know, the 10 Republicans that voted against Avril Haines, I'll read their names. Blackburn, Braun, Cruz, Ernst, Hagerty, Hawley, Lee, Marshall, Paul, and Risch. Rand Paul is the guy who, remember, still is holding up this anti-lynching bill. The Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act. I guarantee you, though, now, he will have less of a reason to do that because the Senate is in Democratic control. We have to start to get ourselves going as well here. We cannot afford to react to everything anymore. And that really, dear listener, is the genesis of this episode. Because as President Biden is up and running, as the administration is beginning to get up and running, and the White House press secretary giving her first press briefing, I mean, literally hours after Joe Biden had been sworn in. You see the U.S. Senate getting to work. The question now is that now that the celebration is over with, what are we doing? What are you doing? This is not the time to rest on one's laurels. This is the time, and I've said this many times here on this podcast, this is the time, this is the time to have an agenda plan, articulate that agenda plan in a few sentences, and be sure to have a conversation about your plan and then implement it. Then, of course, contact the appropriate people in power. Here's a telephone number or two that you can use, dear listener, because I think you'll be needing these numbers. And if you don't have a smartphone, you definitely will want to have these numbers. 202-225-3121. or 202-224-3121. That is the DC Congressional Switchboard. It gets you through to any House member or senator of your choice. You can only speak to them one at a time, so you've got to keep calling in every time for every new person you wish to speak to or be connected to. Now, the chances of you actually getting a senator right there on the phone is extremely, extremely rare. You're going to be getting either an aide to the senator or someone else, or just leaving a message. But my whole point here is that we need to activate ourselves now. We have to start getting our agenda out there, contacting Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and numerous others. We need to start doing that work if we haven't done it already, and you should be doing that already. What good is it if we just sit back and be spectators like we were for 8 years of Obama? We can't afford to do that now. And there's got to be some real tactical, strategic ways to get out the message about the agenda that we want. As I've said many times, pick two or three topics that really interest you and make sure that you get some consensus amongst people you know. Have conversations about them, write position papers, write agenda papers out, and be sure to tweet, phone, or email the people that you want to get your agenda plan out to. This is how it gets done. You can go and use coalitions to get what you need done. And you can also reciprocate with your assistance on a matter that someone needs help with. This is how it gets done. I think one of the keys to action is to be sustained with it. And I'm not asking someone to spend an entire day phoning a congressional switchboard. I'm not asking someone to go an entire day doing only studying on an issue. What I am talking about is doing some of the basic things. And that is what counts. If you want a so-called democracy to flourish, then participation is the key. That was true last September, October, and November, and December, and January of this year. It made a huge difference in the state of Georgia, for example. But my point is that if you want to have any kind of democracy, you have to keep working at it. You have to. We cannot be content any longer. It does not fit the bill. Nor does it fit the bill to stagnate and procrastinate. It's really something that will be harmful in the long run. Procrastination is never an option. Ever. We must put together a progressive agenda. We must put together an agenda that helps and meets the needs of black populations, of brown populations, but particularly of the populations that are black that need this help. And it's way past time that we put that agenda out front and center. And this early on in a term is the best chance to do it. It's the best time to do it. Strike while the iron is hot. That is a very critical component. And I really think that people should do that. Build coalitions with others. Make that count. We have all this technology. We have all of this technology. And we may as well use it for something positive. We may as well make it worthwhile. I don't know why it wouldn't be worthwhile, but it really won't be worthwhile if you don't do anything to change what the situation is for you. And this is the risk you have to take. This is the risk you have to take. You have to be able to put pressure on your elected officials and put pressure on the president and the vice president. There is no question. Senator Ted Cruz, who already voted against Avril Haines in the vote I just mentioned a few minutes ago, he also was saying that, well, saying things about Joe Biden. I mean, this is just absolutely, this is a guy, Ted Cruz, who wanted to get involved in the Ted Cruz is just, he is so scummy. This is a guy that appeared at the inauguration today as if nothing happened 2 weeks ago, two Wednesdays ago, as if nothing happened. And he all but endorsed the violence. I mean, he all but endorsed it. I really want to emphasize and impress upon people that Ted Cruz has already started attacking President Biden. Never mind that he attended his inauguration yesterday, but Ted Cruz is already at Joe Biden. President Biden had not, at the time of the tweet that I'm about to read to you, had not been sitting in the office of President of the United States of America for any more than about 6 hours. And literally within 6 hours, Ted Cruz wrote a tweet. And here's what he said. By rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, President Biden indicates he's more interested in the views of the citizens of Paris than in the jobs of the citizens of Pittsburgh. This agreement will do little to affect the climate and will harm the livelihood of Americans. And that is Ted Cruz. I mean, he is just reptilian. He really is. So you've got people in the Republican Party already attacking Joe Biden. Already. So that's just unreal. And then he's at the inauguration. And it's his prerogative. He obviously got invited. He got a ticket. And there he is. I mean, it's just, there he is 6 hours later, mocking him. Gosh. Honestly. We have to come with an agenda. Makes a real change. And it's just something that we have to do. We just have to do this. And we've got to do it now. It's just one of those things. Hold people accountable. I know that Joe Biden talked a lot about unity. He talked a lot about it, but you cannot have unity in any country unless you first have A, justice, and B, peace and accountability. You cannot do anything about, well, you've got to have accountability and then justice follows. That's what the story is here. We shall see how these first 100 days go, but what is your first 100 days approach? Write down what you are strategizing. Write down how you're going to convey it. Write down who you're going to convey it to. Make sure you do research this. Make sure you do. I am really wondering if after all of this voting, be it in Georgia, be it in wherever, if it is not coming back to haunt some people. I really do impress upon you to take part in these next 4 years, at least, take part in something bigger than you. Really, that's probably the best way to get the kinds of things you need set into motion. Thank you very much indeed for listening and entertaining the Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.